Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Vlad Smolkin of the Peter Bloom Gallery. We're talking about their Exalted Position exhibition, which goes on until August 31st, 2016. We're still in the process of lining up sponsors for Let's Talk Art with Brooke, but in the meantime, if you'd like to support the podcast, please look for my book, Reptiles on Caffeine, on Amazon. Enjoy the podcast.
Brooke.
Hey, good talking to you. How are you?
You too. Sorry, it took me a minute to... It's actually funny. Right when you called, one of the artists in the exhibition came by to visit the show, so I was just speaking with him.
Oh, no worries, no worries. Is he still there?
He's just taking a walk around looking at the show.
Cool. He's welcome to join the chat if he wants.
Excuse me?
He's welcome to join the chat if he wants.
You know, I let him know, and he's... I think quieter than I am. But
okay.
I understand.
No worries. No. Cool. So how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you? How's the weather in North Carolina?
It's going well. It's I think it's going to rain, but it's pretty nice out right now.
It's not. Is it super hot?
It is super hot. Yes.
Yeah. It's been like 95 degrees here. So it's
wow.
We're just getting through it.
Yeah. I was born in upstate New York, and we came down here to escape the cold. So now we're in the heat. So
yeah, you escaped for sure.
Definitely. So we went to the other extreme. Cool. So tell me about this Exalted Position exhibition.
Well, so this is a three-person exhibition, as you know. Mm-hmm. The three artists are Graham Durward, who's a Scottish artist who's currently living in New York.
Cool.
Irina Rozovsky, who is a Russian-born photographer who's living and teaching in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger White, who's American, born in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And the title Exalted Position is it's meant to have multiple meanings. It's kind of like a play on words. But essentially, it's an open question,
mm-hmm.
asking what heightens something, what makes something important,
right.
and how do things function when they're put into a different kind of position. So most of the works in the show are of kind of regular situations, domestic scenes, a painting of a mirror, or with Irina Rozovsky, she photographed several road trips across America,
mm-hmm.
you know, just these basic scenes that everyone knows and sees.
And takes for granted.
And takes for granted, or they're kind of, you know, it's like brushing your teeth. You're not thinking about every
right.
single brush stroke.
Right, exactly.
how your fate lies within each one.
Right, exactly, because it does sometimes.
Yeah. So the show... You know, the three artists, they deal with these kinds of, like, trying to extract a deeper, bigger meaning out of these moments, these regular moments, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the beginning. That's the kind of initial idea for the show. And then the artists, you know, made beautiful works that they, I guess... They have like tangential relationships, you know, because they're all so different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're kind of approaching the same center from different sides, you could say.
Right, right. Was this your idea, this whole exhibition?
Yeah. So I curated the show, and okay. you know, it came out of, I think, just doing studio visits with different artists, mm-hmm. and then. Finding, you know, for me, it's I don't want to lead any kind of conversation when you know, dealing with different artists' work. I want the work to speak for itself, and
right.
the goal would be to, you know, have each artist really have a unified idea that's being expressed,
mm-hmm.
and then that might be helped by the work that surrounds it,
mm-hmm.
And that's what I was going for with the exhibition.
Cool. Now, did I understand you to say that these artists created these pieces for this exhibition?
No, Well, it was a combination. So they are mostly recent works. They didn't, no work was made for, like, oh, I didn't come up and say, oh, I have this concept and she can make works. It wasn't right. like that at all. It was more like the work that the artist made already uh-huh. seemed to correspond with the idea. You know, right. So it was pretty organic how it came together.
Uh-huh. And so how did you choose these three artists?
That's a good question. You know, I think in the end, these are three artists that I thought I wanted to see more of, and I wanted to be involved with, and three artists whose work I respect uh-huh. very much, and also three artists who, again, kind of, they have an eccentric kind of relationship to each other, you know, so uh-huh. there's, you know, small photographs, there's large abstract painting, mm-hmm. and then there's kind of smaller, discrete painting. So, you know, these are like, you know, three points of a triangle, you could say, you know, and in one sense, the artists don't overlap at all mm-hmm. formally, mm-hmm. but in another sense, you could say maybe on an emotional level or an intellectual level, there are shared concerns. And so
right.
I think a lot of those things, you know, weren't dictated by me in any way. I think it's just things that start to happen naturally between the works. And a part of me wanted to see that as well. I think that's why those three artists, because the feeling was that once these works are in the same exhibition space together, something will happen. And the title, Exalted Position, kind of refers to that as well. Like, what are the conditions under which we start to get meaning out of something, or it starts to reverberate with the experience of the viewer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's awesome. Cool, because it's just things that you wouldn't normally think twice about. Like you said, kind of like brushing your teeth, or like mirrors is one of the pictures. And one I thought was so cool is Graham Durward. Is that his name? Is that how you pronounce his name? I loved the incense. Mm-hmm. That's just fantastic. I mean, they all have fantastic pieces, I think. But that just really stood out to me.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, I had seen those images because Graham has made those incense paintings maybe over the last decade. He's worked on them, and these new ones are kind of like a lot wilder, moving more towards abstraction mm-hmm. Than the previous ones, mm-hmm. and I thought that kind of meeting point of abstraction representation mm-hmm. in consideration of what they're depicting, which is incense in, like, on the floor of a room, which is this, like, pseudo-seance kind yeah. of activity or whatever, you know?
Right, yeah.
or, you know, with the mirrors also, where you're depicting mirrors, but there's no reflection. You're standing right in front of it, so there's this kind of, like, there's like an invisible presence there,
right?
You know?
Right.
And so I think that those are things that start to develop going from piece to piece and artist to artist, where they fill in different spaces in that kind of conversation, you know.
Uh-huh. Kind of transcending the physical to the spiritual.
Yeah, you're going into, like, from material to immaterial, you know, emotional and intellectual kind of ways to read the painting, and then really it's about the viewer, the person that comes into the exhibition. All of these things are intersecting and being completed by the viewer, you know. So the viewer could be seen as being in the exalted position, in the heightened position.
Oh yeah,
you know, to bring their experience to what's being depicted, you know.
Uh-huh.
If a person has a, you know, religious background and they see an oval mirror and just that shape alone has, you know, or incense or, you know, any number of things can have a religious connotation.
Right, exactly.
And so that would, the read of those works would be, you know, drastically affected by the experience of whoever's looking at them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I like the idea of how, like, just have the play on the word is how, like, different things shift between the exalted position, like the artwork, and then the viewer, and then I think that's fantastic.
And you know, and then the artist who historically has been, you know, there's this like cult of personality that has hovered above the artist, you know, as this kind of struggling genius, you know, and. You know, it's an open question in that way. Is that the heightened position, the position of the maker, or is it the position of the seer, the person that's seeing the mirror and then deciding to paint it? You know, so there's all these levels of seeing and understanding, you know, what perception. That might mean.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's great. I think that's really cool. This is a great exhibition. Good job.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's been a real pleasure to work with these artists, and they seem to be happy with it, which is, you know, my main concern.
Right, right. How integral were they in this exhibition? Did they, were they able to give input on you know, where they wanted it placed or how they wanted it placed or their ideas towards your...
You know, they gave me, they gave us complete kind of trust. So, you know, I did several studio visits with each artist, and throughout those, seeing the work, responding to what they were making, and then at the same time kind of constructing a vision of how I would see these works interacting in the exhibition space, you know, we would discuss, I think, more of what the feeling of the show would be, and then kind of have an understanding there. And then with regard to where the actual artworks hang in the show, they gave complete trust, I guess, in the gallery to do that.
Right.
And I think it worked out well. In that way.
Yeah, I think that's cool, because I mean, you can have, I don't know as a curator if you how much interaction you want. I mean, how much you need. I mean, how much input you want from the artist as to, like, because it's your, that's kind of your baby, the exhibition, and I don't know. I just like the idea that they trust you, and I think that's cool that you have.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know, whose baby it is, you know, could also refer to the title of the show.
Exactly.
I don't see it that way. I see it, I think that things come together in lots of, you know, for different reasons, you know, how this show came about has something to do with me. It has something to do, you know, a lot to do with the artists and a lot to do with the gallery. You know, so there's a lot of things that come together in this kind of, you know, or I don't know if it's organic. They just come together in a certain way. So I don't see it. I don't see myself as leading anything as much as participating in what, like a greater idea, you know, like greater than the sum of its parts, I guess. That would be my goal.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's a cool way to put it.
That might be kind of like an abstract way to put it.
Yeah. I like it. So how long have you been at Peter Bloom?
I have been here for, I think I'm coming up on 4 years now.
Cool. Well, first of all, who is Peter Bloom?
Peter Bloom is, well, he's been a gallerist for, I think, the last 30 years, if I'm not mistaken, for quite a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's put on exhibitions with a wide range of artists, European artists, Asian artists, all over the board, you know. And he's also well known for his editions and his books as a book publisher.
Oh, cool.
And so Peter, you know, he's definitely an inspiration for me as well with so many of the exhibitions that he's made in the past and what we're doing now. And, you know, for this show, I worked closely with Peter and with his son, David Bloom.
Ah.
So, you know, it was truly like a collaborative effort. There was no, you know, I think everyone had input, and I think that made it better in the end.
Right. Right. So you've been there for 4 years? Mm-hmm. How did you get started in the curating business?
Well, you know, it seems to just have happened. You know, I think, you know, I expressed interest in putting together an exhibition, and then there was an opening to do that, and I've been working with the gallery for several years, and have been involved in, you know, almost all of the exhibitions in varying capacities. So this one was just an extension of that, but working with artists that haven't exhibited at the gallery before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think to varying degrees, it's a collaborative effort, any exhibition. Some artists want more input, some know exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been a great experience to be on kind of the different parts of that spectrum of being involved and, you know, and letting it be what they want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably something that's very cool too, that you have to kind of step back and let, you know, different people take charge of what they want to take charge of, like with the, 'cause I never really thought of that an exhibition is kind of a, like, I always thought of it as the curators. Well, first I thought it was the artist's thing, and then I thought it, then I talked to curators. I thought it was, oh, it's this their thing, and now I like what you said. It's just kind of like everyone's thing. So
yeah, I mean, it's like, I think that there are, it's a problematic way to think about an exhibition to say it's one entity's thing or another, you know, because you can't, you know, for an artist's thing is the ideas in their head and how they come out in a material way. That's the artist's thing. Once you start to incorporate other people and environments, then it's a collaborative endeavor. And the same, and for a curator, I think there's nothing worse than a curator that has an idea and then they find artworks that fit that idea. To me, that's the exact opposite of what I would ever want to be involved with. To me, it's about, you know, productive collaborations and trust, you know, and trust
right.
in different parties that you know, you're working towards something that's interesting and that will have a lasting impression on people.
Right. So you're saying you don't want to just find the right pieces on your own. You just want to have interaction and have people show them to you.
Excuse me. Say again.
So you were saying that you didn't want to, if you had an idea for an exhibition and you immediately found the right pieces, if I'm understanding you correctly, is that, I'm not quite sure I understood what you said.
I was just saying that, you know, in terms of for a curator, I don't think a curator should dictate what an exhibition should be about prior to the, you know, the work. I think these things are all happening at the same time.
Right.
It should be a simultaneous thing with the work being made by artists and then conversations with the gallery or the curator or whoever, and then these things, you know, happen in a natural way as opposed to forcing one idea or concept over another.
Right. It's kind of like life too.
Exactly. Life is about balance.
Exactly.
And you know, that's what we strive for.
Right. Well, that's awesome.
This has become a very kind of like, what's the word, like self-help conversation.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, how did you get involved with this podcast, if it's okay for me to ask?
Yeah, totally. It's kind of funny. I was I'm kind of looking for my next big thing. I wrote a book, and I had kind of my book is Reptiles on Caffeine, and it's about stress. And I wrote a blog about that, and I still do, I guess. But I was just kind of waiting for my next thing to do. And I really had taken a huge interest in art history and the art world. And I wanted to give speeches on it, but I don't have any credibility or, you know, no reason why anyone would want to have me give a speech to them. So my boyfriend was like, well, why don't you start a podcast? And he's like, and then you could talk to curators and, like, actually, like, it'd be more than, you know, because he's like, 'cause you know, giving speeches is just boring. And that way you can have like an interactive discussion with, you know, with curators and learn a lot yourself. And so that's kind of what I'm doing. Oh, and also I'm writing a, this is kind of on the coattails of, I'm in the process of writing another book on a guy that no one's ever heard of. And so if you haven't heard of him, I won't be offended. But Hugh Lane, he's a Dublin art dealer, or he was.
And what's his name? I'm sorry.
Hugh Lane.
Hugh Lane?
Yeah. He has the Hugh Lane Gallery, or I think it's called the Hugh Lane. And he's related to, he's an ancestor of my boyfriend's. So I, and he's a really fascinating guy. So I'm, so no one's heard of him. So I'm telling everyone I'm writing this book about no one, you know. And so, but it's going to be, but you, after it comes out, you will have heard of him and everyone will have heard of him and, everyone will think he's as awesome as I do.
Well, that sounds interesting. When will the book come out?
I don't know. I've been it's a lot of stops and starts. So it's not anywhere near done right now, but just kind of, I just got a to the point of flow where I can just kind of like, you know, sit and work on it for a long time without having to like stop and be like, okay, what am I doing? And let me find some more information. And so I've finally, you know, found a good working ritual, so I can so hopefully it'll be out in the next few years.
Well, that's great. Definitely keep me posted. I'd love to see it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's he's a really interesting guy. He's and there's not a lot written about him. Not a lot of articles and stuff. There's a few books. Most of it's just references to him in other books, other Irish literature. So it's kind of like a hunt.
For Hugh Lane. Indiana Jones kind of unearthing the past. Right. But is he still? Does he still have a gallery?
The gallery is a kind of a complicated story, which but it's he had a collection. His goal was to promote Irish art, to make Ireland the great kind of like the go-to place for art and culture, which it wasn't at the time. It was, he died on Lusitania, so he was in the early was it the 18th century, 19th century. So at that time, Ireland wasn't really known for its art, and he wanted to make Ireland known for art. So he kind of gathered together this impressionist collection, which is not Irish, but it sold. I mean, it was popular at the time; people wanted to see it. So he had this collection. He tried to sell it to. He wanted Dublin to build a gallery for it. Which they're kind of like hemming and hawing about it. So he got mad and he sold it to the National Gallery in London. And so for a long time after he died, his will the will originally said that the collection would be left to England, but then at the last minute he wrote a codicil that left it to Dublin, but the codicil wasn't witnessed. So that wasn't valid, but it was just kind of this legal battle, which only recently got solved. So I think Dublin, for a while, they were sharing the custody of the collection.
That sounds like a lot of intrigue.
Yeah, it's a lot of intrigue and a lot of just interesting stuff. Or hopefully, it's interesting stuff. I think it's interesting.
Well, it sounds interesting.
Cool. So what's next for Peter Bloom? What's going on? What other exhibitions do you have going on?
Well, our next exhibition is Swedish artist Paul Fagerskjöld.
Ooh.
And he's a young, how young is he? Maybe in his mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be our first show with him, and we're very excited. The opening is going to be, I believe, on September 8th.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, in the first part of September.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. So, it's nice. You know, because the gallery has some older artists, more established artists, and you know, we're working with younger artists as well that are, you know, I think this might be his first. It's definitely his first show in New York, and I'm not sure if it's his first show in America.
Right. That's really cool that you keep it that because you have the older and more established artists for, you know, for respectability and I mean, not for talent's sake, I'm sure too, but and yeah, but you're not afraid to like delve into the younger stuff. I think that's
no. I mean, and for me, and again, why I respect what Peter's done is that it's always been a combination of well-established work with kind of new up-and-coming work. You know, and those artists existing in the same gallery is pretty rare. You know, and so we go back and forth, and I think it really keeps. It keeps everyone on their toes, and it keeps things fresh, and it keeps things interesting, and you know, and that's what we're continuing to do. I think that's part of the identity of the gallery.
Cool, cool. I like it. That sounds really cool. I'll have to. We go to Vermont sometimes, so we'll have to stop by New York to.
Please do. Absolutely.
That sounds like it's really cool.
Yeah, just let us know in advance, and we'll be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for talking with me, Vlad.
My pleasure. Thank you. And it was really nice to hear about your book project as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for asking. So, sure. Yeah, I'll keep you up to date with it. Thank you so much to Vlad Smolkin of the Peter Bloom Gallery for telling us about the Exalted Position exhibition. And thank you to you for listening. If you're in the New York City area, check out the gallery. They've always got a lot of great stuff going on. Thanks for listening. If you're interested in having us promote your product or service, if you have a comment, if you have any ideas for future podcasts, or would like to be on the show yourself, please contact me at arttalkwithbrooke@gmail.com. That's all one word and Brooke with an E.
Let's Talk Art with Brooke is a Hotspur Enterprises media production.